Welcome back. In this lesson, we're going to build that classic jungle and old-school D&B feeling by pulling a bass line apart with resampling in Ableton Live 12, then rebuilding it into a tense, rising phrase that can lead right into a drop, a switch-up, or a drum edit. This is one of those workflows that feels almost too effective once you get it down. Instead of trying to write the final bass line all in MIDI from scratch, you start with a simple musical idea, bounce it to audio, and then treat that audio like raw material. You chop it, repitch it, stretch it, flip it, and suddenly the bass line starts behaving like a performance. That's exactly the kind of movement that makes jungle and old-school D&B feel alive. So let's keep this practical and musical. First, build a source bass patch that has enough character to survive resampling. Don't overcomplicate it. In Live 12, load up Waveeditable or Operator on a MIDI track. If you want that old-school jungle flavor, think simple and harmonically rich. A saw-based patch, a basic shapes Waveeditable, or a simple operator setup with a sign for the low end and something a little sharper for the mids will do the job. The goal here is not to make the final sound yet. The goal is to create a bass with good raw material. If you're using Waveeditable, keep the filter low pass and start the cutoff somewhere in that 150 to 400 Hz zone. Add just a little envelope movement so the notes speak. If you're using Operator, keep the attack tight and the decay short enough that the notes still punch. You want the bass to have body, but also a little edge. Write a one-bar or two-bar phrase that supports the drums instead of fighting them. In D&B terms, think root notes, maybe one passing tone and some space. Bass matters. A bass line that breathes gives the break room to talk. And for that old-school tension, try placing some of the hits on the offbeat or leaving beat one empty. That little gap creates pull. It makes the line feel like it's leaning forward. Now, before you resample anything, give the source some movement. This is where the bass gets its attitude. Add saturator and push it gently, maybe 2 to 6 dB of drive, with soft clip-on. If the patch is too polite, a little overdrive or drum bus can help, but keep it under control. You don't want to wreck the core. You want to excite it. Then add auto filter and automate the cutoff over a few bars. This is a big part of the trick. If the filter is gradually opening, the bass is already behaving like a riser before you even start chopping it. That means when you resample, the audio contains motion baked into it. And that's the whole point. In D&B, the best tension usually comes from harmonic movement, not just volume. If you want a little width in the upper mids, you can add chorus ensemble very lightly, but keep the sub focused and centered. Mono discipline is your friend here. The low end should stay solid. You can always get width from the process top layer later. Now we record the performance to audio. Create a new audio track, set its input to resampling, or route the bass track to an audio track if you want more control. Arm the track and capture at least 2 bars. If your automation is evolving, 4 bars is even better. If the patch is heavy, you can also freeze and flatten it, which is a great way to commit to audio fast. Once you have the resample, name it clearly. Something like bass resample. Color it. Keep the session organized. It sounds basic, but when you start doing multiple passes, this saves you from chaos. Here's the important part. Treat the recorded audio like a performance, not like a loop. Don't just leave it sitting there. Listen for the strongest attacks, the coolest resonances, the little tails and slides that already have personality. Those are the bits that will survive repitching and slicing the best. Next, slice it up. You can drag the audio into simpler, or use slice to new MIDI track. For this kind of D&B work, slice by transients is great if the phrase has natural punch points. If it's very rhythmic, slice by 8th notes or 16ths. And if you want more control, do it manually. A good habit here is to duplicate the original audio clip first so you always have the raw version. Then chop from the duplicate. Keep a couple of longer slices for body, and use shorter slices for motion. If you find a slice with strong attack or a nice bit of resonance, that's gold. Those slices tend to repitch better than dead, flat ones. Now comes the fun part. Rebuild the phrase so it becomes a riser or tension line. You're not trying to preserve the original pattern exactly. You're trying to make it evolve. Shift some slices up by a semitone or two every bar. Maybe duplicate the whole phrase and move the later version up a little higher. Maybe shorten the note lengths as you get closer to the drop. Maybe increase the density in the final bar. This is where the classic jungle energy starts to show up. Small pitch lifts, tiny timing nudges, little repeated fragments and reversed answers before the downbeat. All of that creates pressure. If you want a more anxious climb, try going up by 3 or 5 semitones across the build. If you want it subtler, One or two semitones can be enough. And don't forget timing. Nudge a few clips slightly early or slightly late. Just a few milliseconds is enough. That human push-pull makes the phrase feel performed instead of gridlocked. It's a small detail, but it adds a lot. If the resampled line starts to feel too flat, don't immediately pile on more effects. Try consolidating small regions and rechopping them. Sometimes tiny edits create more urgency than heavier processing. You can also use clip gain before the plugins, so the saturation reacts in a more controlled way. If the distortion is splatting too hard, lower the input level and let the drive work more musically. Now shape the tone like a sound design layer. Put EQ 8 after the resampled phrase if you need to clean it up. If this is a riser and not a full bass line, you may want to high pass the low end so it doesn't fight the sub. Then add saturator again if needed, maybe a little redux for vintage crunch, and auto filter to keep the upward movement going. If you want more weight and aggression, split the bass into two layers. Keep one layer cleaner and lower, and make another layer more distorted in the mids. High pass the dirty layer so it only contributes attitude. Keep the low layer mono, and under roughly 120 Hz. That way the riser still feels powerful, but the mix stays clear. This is a really important DNB idea. The bass should interact with the drums, not sit on top of them. So test the phrase against a real break. Put an amen, think, or some other chopped break underneath it. Add ghost notes, little drum fills, maybe a snare pickup right before the phrase resolves. If the bass is masking the kick or snare, use sidechain compression lightly. Fast attack, groove matched release, just enough to make space. You do not need the overdone pump unless that's specifically the vibe you want. Here's a strong arrangement move. Let the first couple of bars feel relatively sparse, then increase the bass activity as you move forward. In the last half bar, strip the drums back and let a fill, a roll, or a reverse slice pull into the drop. Then hit the drop hard with the full break and sub reset. That contrast is what makes the transition land. Now automate the tension. Open the filter cutoff over 4 or 8 bars. Increase saturator drive slightly as you approach the drop. Maybe bring in a tiny bit more reverb or delay on the final slice only. You can even automate the bass group down a dB or two early in the build, then restore it near the end. That creates the sense of rising energy without smashing your headroom. For a darker underground feel, resist the urge to throw a giant white noise riser on top. A resampled bass riser is often more convincing in jungle and old school DNB, because it sounds like the track itself is tightening up. It feels internal. It feels like the groove is turning the screw. A few pro tips while you work. If the line needs more old school attitude, try a touch of sample rate reduction or mild saturation and then filter it back down. If it needs more menace, automate a slight upward pitch drift only on the last slice of each bar. If you want extra jungle flavor, layer a little room tone, tape hiss, or vinyl noise underneath the build and automate it up only near the transition. Tiny details like that can make the whole section feel more alive. You can also get creative with the slicing. Try call and response bass cells, where one fragment is low and blunt and the next is higher and more nasal. Or go for reverse answer slices, where one chopped piece gets reversed before the downbeat and then the normal hit lands after it. That sucked-in feeling works incredibly well in old-school-inspired arrangements. And if you want to get really aggressive, try a second resampling pass. Build your first edit, bounce it again, then slice that new audio. A second bounce often gives you that finished, broken, jungle-like texture that's hard to fake with plugins alone. So to recap the core workflow, start with a simple bass patch, add movement before bouncing, resample it to audio, slice it into playable pieces, rebuild the phrase so it rises in tension, then process and automate it so it locks with the break. Keep the low end clean, keep the groove alive, and keep the tension musical. For practice, I'd suggest this. Make a 2-bar bass patch, write a simple root note idea with one passing tone, automate a filter opening over 4 bars, resample it, slice it into a handful of chunks, then rebuild the last 2 bars higher and busier. Add a breakbeat underneath and see if it feels like it's pulling toward the drop. If it does, you're on the right path. That's the move. In jungle and old school DNB, the bassline doesn't just play. It mutates. It gets pulled apart, reassembled, and pushed forward by the arrangement itself. Once you start hearing audio that way, resampling becomes one of your fastest routes to real movement. All right, let's build it.